Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Feed Your Wild. It's Vanessa Rodriguez, your intuitive nourishment guide. This episode and every episode of this podcast, welcome back. And if you're new, welcome. I'm so excited you are here. We are talking about this Scorpio new moon today. I love Scorpio season. I love Scorpios. I'm also afraid of Scorpios and Scorpio season. Mostly because you guys have such penetrative energy. It's this beautiful, I'm gonna go deep. Let's go deep and not be afraid of the intensity. And hello, intensity, this season. It's been so incredibly intense and a lot bubbling up for so many individuals, but also clearly on a collective level. There is still the energy of the eclipses happening. They most acutely affect within the 2 weeks after, but they'll really be affecting us, or at least the consequences of the eclipses will be affecting us for 6 months following eclipse season. And November, if you can imagine, has the potential to continue to be even more intense than October was. Eclipses bring about permanent changes. Here we are experiencing endings and new beginnings. Scorpio, ruled by Pluto, the planet of rebirth, of death, of transformation, of excavation. There is nothing surface level about Pluto Scorpio season and this past eclipse season. So for some people, it could be just like a mild internal process. And for other folks, it has been life-changing tower moments, really shaking up what your life looked like. And it's never going back, at least in the same way. And that's the power of eclipses and Scorpio season in general. I wanted to mention briefly before I get into this episode that I've been receiving more and more requests for one-on-one intuitive guidance, especially as we collectively journey through these intense times. And a lot is coming up for people on an individual basis. So we're going to get into a lot of that with this lunation and with the astrology. But as we enter the darker months, these more introspective months, it can be helpful to have intuitive guidance, to have some illumination coming in and to help you to remember to your own light and your own truth. And very often it's supportive to have someone else to help you see that and to receive messages on your behalf. So while I, for the past several years, have really moved away from one-on-one work simply because having a new baby, moving across the country, creating an entire new mentorship program, it was just a lot. It was a lot to hold, and I didn't have the capacity. But now I do. I have energy and time and space for one work. And honestly, it's not only one of my favorite way to work with people is to dive really deep and connect intimately, privately, one-on-one. It's also part of my path and purpose. Like, it's literally written in my design to support, mentor, and guide others through a place of stillness and tapping into inner wisdom and intuition. And in particular, one-on-one work, we can go really deep. So I'm really happy to open up more spots in this time where there are more requests. November, as you will hear, we will continue in this excavation of old paradigms that need to go, and there's fiery turbulence. This is something that many will continue to experience as we individually and collectively birth new versions of ourselves and our lives. So if you are desiring some soul level support and intuitive guidance in navigating whatever shifts are happening for you, I've opened up some options as we near the end of this year. The first option is one-on-one Akashic Soul Record readings. These are deep dive Akashic Soul Record readings where we hop on Zoom, we can tap into a sense of clarity, peace, and divine support during these transformative times for you. They really can be an anchor and bring in a sense of the soul level stability and faith as you navigate choppy waters, or even if it's amazing, beautiful waters, you know, and you just want a little bit more understanding about your experience and to reconnect with the core essence of yourself and your path. So those are available. I've opened up extra limited amount of spots in the months of November and December. And then I'll open up more spots in 2024 once I open up books for next year. But if that is calling to you, you could go to wildlyrooted.com/Akashic Records or click the link in my show notes and sign up for those. I also have one spot available for my one-on-one private Akashic mentorship. I might have two. It depends on if the next person who steps in wants to do it more long-term or shorter term. If they choose a shorter term, then I'll have two spots open because you can actually choose the length of time. So if you feel called to a more private one-on-one mentorship where you have my undivided attention, intuitive guidance, laser psychic coaching literally in your back pocket with Voxer, this is the mentorship for you. It's called the Akashic Intuitive Healing Mentorship Experience. And we will be incorporating Akashic Record training. So not only do you have me as a guide accessing your Akashic Records and speaking to your spiritual team, you also access training and learn to work with the Akashic Records yourself in a healing capacity or a practitioner capacity if you are a practitioner. Short and longer term options are available. So really, I only have technically two spots remaining before the end of the year. So if you're feeling called, apply now before they are gone. You can learn more by clicking the link in the show notes. You can also go to wildlyrooted.com/intuitive healing mentorship, all one word, wildlyrooted.com/intuitive healing mentorship. And that's where you can get access to all the information, the logistics, what's inside of the program, the cost, the investment, and bonuses, and of course, the application to get started. I'm really looking forward to connecting in more deeply with you one-on-one if this is resonating for you. So I will see you on the other side. Scorpio season, it gives you a bunch of willpower and determination. As I mentioned, that this sort of penetrative focus, energy, lasering in, really locking in to get shit done. And that is part of that excavation process, that uncovering, digging up in order to create new agreements, to renegotiate, to throw out the trash, right? To put shit in the compost and to really prepare for the coming new experiences and new life and new earth that we are building on individual and collective levels. This is also the season of secrets and revealing of secrets, of the thinning of the veil. So we're going to see this theme continuing over the next few months, and I would argue continuing for years to come, as so much is being unveiled to us, as a lot of old paradigms are starting to crumble and we're building parallel systems. We're really shifting into new global cycles. And I'm going to touch on this later in this episode because I think it's really relevant to what we are experiencing now. These are previews. These are sort of like the prerequisites, so to speak, for the changes that we're experiencing, I'm referring to. They're like prerequisites for the new experience, the new systems, the new world that we, consciously or not, are building together. We have Mars is super strong throughout November. It's in the sign of Scorpio, which is its ancient rulership. And it likes hanging out in Scorpio. It gives it more power and focus. And it's also moving really quickly. So I had mentioned a lot of fiery, heating energy in the past episodes and the astrology that we've reviewed thus far, that's going to continue. So we had from November 11th through the 14th, we have a Mars-Uranus opposition. This is at 21 degrees of the Scorpio-Taurus axis. And on the 12th, we also have Mercury in Taurus opposite Uranus. So Uranus is in Scorpio. Well, what can this bring? Lots of heated discoveries, shocks, downloads. So Uranus is the planet of surprises, of shock, of awakenings. And so truths like coming in through Mercury, the planet of communication, like brilliant ideas might be coming in. One of my favorite astrologers says that those who have a natal opposition of Mercury and Uranus are plugged into the mind of God and have access to the higher mind, so to speak. And whether or not you have that natal opposition, so basically what that means is if you look at your birth chart, your natal chart, what this astrologer is saying is if you have Mercury, the planet Mercury, and the planet Uranus in opposition to one another in your natal chart, that you have this predisposition to be plugged into this sort of higher mind consciousness, the mind of God, she calls it. And we all have access to that with these sort of transits, right? So it's not like nobody else can access that type of thing. Of course not. There's many other ways to access. But there are predispositions. But with transits, we all get flavors and sort of like impulses and openings that occur. And so this is one in particular that's happening on the 12th. We had Saturn moving stationary direct. This is happening on November 4th. I mentioned this in a previous episode, but it has this energy, kind of like a heavy energy, this big ship slowing down and then stopping and changing directions, changing course. It's that kind of feeling, this like heaviness of, right? Like shifting directions. There's an amplification to the symbolism of the planet when this happens. So with Saturn, this is connected to rules and regulations or authority and authoritarian figures, restriction as well. And it could feel heavy, like both in your body and emotionally. So this is a good time to turn inwards. You may have noticed feeling kind of heavy, kind of slower in the beginning of November. That could have played a role in that. Especially, you know, it depends on how Saturn is playing a part in your story through your natal chart. But Saturn is also the teacher. And it gives us great discipline. Saturn makes us strong. And it's in the sign of Pisces. So looking at dreams, dreaming into reality, what are you learning from your dreams and bringing it down to earth, bringing a sort of material understanding or interpretation of your dreams, your dreamscape, but also that this spiritual and an intuitive. So this bridging of these two worlds. We also have the moon in Scorpio opposing Jupiter in Taurus. And Jupiter is an expander. So it's going to expand anything that it's aspected to. So like Jupiter, if it's going to be opposite something, or if it's going to be conjunct something, which is, means like right on top of or right next to, it's going to expand that energy. So there is this expansion in the intensity of this moon in Scorpio with Jupiter opposing the moon in Scorpio. What does this mean? Well, it can be sort of like emotions blowing up, really deep emotions coming through. Maybe it's financial issues because the Scorpio Taurus axis is a financial axis and both having to do with money. So looking at like money blowing up in your world, maybe. And around the world, safety and security. So thinking about Taurus and security, food, material resources, those types of things. And we are building up toward a rare conjunction of the Sun and Mars in Scorpio, which perfects on November 18th. But we see this and we feel this energy already today. The new moon, 20 degrees, the new moon's happening at 20 degrees of Scorpio. So check your chart, 20 degrees. Where does 20 degrees of Scorpio land for you? What house, what area? How is it impacting you? So here the Sun and moon, well, they're always in conjunction when there's a new moon. So we have the Sun and moon right there with Mars in the sign of Scorpio at 20 degrees, and Mars is near 20 degrees. This is, again, intensity of emotion, a feeling, intensity of intensity. And with in relationships, in finances, in resources, food, supply. We also see Ceres, which is a Kuiper belt object. So it's not necessarily a part of the planets that we would look at. Ceres was the goddess of harvest and grains. And so here, another connection to food and to harvest and to resources and nourishment. And they're all opposing Uranus. All of this is opposing Uranus. Uranus, as I mentioned initially in this episode, the planet of awakening and surprise. So what's going to unearth? We don't know until it happens. But Uranus can upset the status quo of things. It can upset the status quo of our lives. And yeah, while shit can blow up, it's really to get us to shake things up in the best possible way, to get us to think outside of the box that we ourselves have constricted ourselves into, contained ourselves, or our family systems, belief systems, society, our government, right? So this is about looking outside of the box, exploring broader ideas, shaking shit up so that we can awaken. It's to trigger an awakening and to really expand our concept, our ideas of life, and really of everything. So while this can also be material and literal. So for example, we see in terms of the financial system, things breaking down. There's also the potential stepping stone of the change in the finance industry with the digitization of currency. But when we're looking at our own lives, this has a lot to do with being ushered into, whether you want it or not, a new way of seeing things, putting on a different set of glasses. So rather than fighting this, it can be really helpful to embrace some of this Uranian energy, some of this shock and awakening that might happen. Understand that, yeah, this is an impulse that's flowing through right now, and giving yourself permission to, yeah, experience the shock, experience the jarring feeling that can come with it, but also how to coast with it, how to surf those waves. And don't be afraid to looking outside of the box and stepping outside of the box as well. So really interrogating and scrutinizing, what are the boxes that I'm in, whether I'm conscious of them or not? What are the ideas that others have of me? What are the projections that I typically receive and that others place upon me? What does society say about me? And what boxes does society or my culture or my education or my upbringing or whatever it is telling me? So this energy, this season, and Scorpio is like, babe, we are lifting the veil for you. There's no turning back. You're changing glasses right now, right? And you got to open your eyes. You could keep your eyes closed, but you're not going to have a fun time doing that. You're going to be stumbling around a lot. So have the courage to open your eyes and embrace this new way of seeing and experiencing. And can you step into that? Can you align to your truth, which is really more of a felt sense and a deep sense of knowing than it is something that is really literal or tangible? We also have Neptune at play here. And Neptune puts this intensity into a bigger spiritual context. So I think this is really helpful because it's reminding us that there is more than just what we see with our physical eyes. And there's more to life than money and food, right? What is the purpose and process of everything that we're going through right now? We are in what feels to me like such a rapid path of evolution. We're in high gear, really, moving into a higher state of being. At least there's that push for us to do so. And of course, we have wills, so we could say yes or no to the ride and to the invitation. But the veil is being lifted, and we all received that message loud and clear with the last Akashic Soul Nourishment reading for the collective in the last episode on the podcast. So tune into that if you have not. It was a really beautiful reading channeling that came through. But we received the message that the veil is going to continue to be lifted. It's not going to go back. You can't put the veil back on and those other glasses back on. And it's being lifted on the world stage too. Obviously, there is a lot of turmoil happening, so much tragedy, so much just like terrible things that were already happening and that we cannot unsee. It's time to see. It's time to see these things. And to pretend that they're not happening or to avoid them is just not sustainable, and it's not healthy for you or for anybody. With Scorpio, it's like there are these deep entanglements, these deep webs of energy that stretch into the darkest parts of our individual and collective souls and psyche and consciousness. And in order to rectify, to rebuild, to create what Charles Eisenstein calls a more beautiful world we know to be true in our hearts, we have to look at the shit. We can't pretend like it's not there anymore. And this is not just about what is happening, for example, with Palestine and Gaza. This is happening everywhere in the world. There is so much shit happening all over the world that has been beneath the surface, but it's been happening this whole time. So this is about simultaneously doing our deep shadow work ourselves so that we can show up for the greater collective in the world. And show up in the best and most resourced way possible. Owning your path and being true to yourself, which ultimately that is going to give you energy. It's going to resource you when you can be honest with yourself and be as authentic as possible and stay in your truth, which a lot of times is inconvenient. Like there is a fawning response and people pleasing that can come up a lot. I know that happens with me in wanting to appease others or appease the crowd. And that is not the pathway to rebuilding a world that is really in alignment with who you are and what it is that you desire to create. So this is about tuning into your own music, cultivating that time to really tune in, and being brave and courageous enough to claim it and to be unapologetic about it. So the current cosmic weather continues to be intense, unpredictable, explosive, turbulent, all the things that I've mentioned so far. Even though we've moved through the eclipse season, as I mentioned, it's still going to linger. We're still going to experience the impact and of the things that occurred during that time. We're going to see the consequences of that. And the heat is still building. So we are still going to experience the anger, the aggression, the conflict. And it can also show up as, for you in your own life, like energy and movement and passion and willpower. So we can ride these impulses. We can ride these energies in many different ways. We can ride them in ways that are supportive for us and can fuel us. And then we can also ride them in ways that burn us out or burn others out. Regardless of what you choose, these months of October and November are and have been game changers. They have completely shifted our direction individually and collectively. So how are you meeting that shift in your life? And how are you resourcing yourself through really challenging, shitty, and/or tumultuous times? And how can you begin or continue to ride these waves and still maintain connection to your highest self, to your soul, to your heart and your truth? Sometimes we need reminders. Sometimes we need partners and partnerships. Sometimes we need circles to hold us, our community. So find what it is that you need and make sure that you are resourcing yourself. The end of this month, November and onward, this big T square between Pluto and the nodal axis. So the nodal axis is the north and south node, and we have Pluto that is squaring them. It starts to move on. So this has been a huge year. This entire year has been a choice point. It's been the year for choice. There are so many experiences and opportunities that have brought forth the opportunity to choose an old paradigm versus a new, to choose fear versus love, to choose a timeline, to choose self or not self. And this is continuing. And the choices that you make this year will set you up for the rest of your life. No pressure, but it's happening for all of us. It's happening for all of us. So again, resource yourself. Now, I mentioned that there are these big global cycles, and I wanted to touch in on that before I dive into more of the like medical astrology aspect of things when we're looking at Scorpio. And so one of the global cycles or shifts that I want to touch in on that I haven't really talked about too much on the podcast is this global shift from the perspective of human design. So if you're a listener of the podcast, longtime listener, you know I'm deeply a fan of the system of human design. I find it incredibly supportive and like an instruction manual that can be very, very helpful. just really helping with the mechanics of operating in your own design. And within human design, it includes astrology, of course, right? So it looks at various global cycles, and we are on the cusp of a shift in our global cycle. And these global cycles are, you could say, ruled by energies of what are called crosses, incarnation crosses. And these are based on the precession of the equinoxes. We have a new global cycle that is happening 2027. So at the time of this, the date of this podcast episode, when I'm releasing it, it is 2023. So this is in 4 years that this is happening, or like 3.5 years. We are moving from the cross of planning to the cross of the sleeping phoenix. So once we hit 2027, then we move into this global cycle of the cross of the sleeping phoenix. There are many ways to describe what this is kind of like, but we can sort of tune into it as there's a background frequency that is infused into our every aspect of our experience, our lived experience, and that penetrates us and thereby influences us. For the past 400 years, we have been influenced by the music, so to speak, the background music of the cross of planning. It began at the beginning of the 1600s, and it's going to end in 2027. What follows is what's called the cross of the sleeping phoenix. And these are incredibly different crosses and frequencies or music, so to speak. There are a lot of wonderful resources. I'll link them up. I'll name them, and then I'll link them up below, like videos and where to learn more about these cycles, because it could be really confusing. If you're not familiar with human design, it might even be even more confusing. If you know a bit about human design and gates and the centers and all of that, then it's easier to understand and kind of comprehend, although I will tell you it's like really deep and complex and over my head. Alongside this shift, what's happening with this shift is a mutative process that's taking place in the solar plexus center. So within human design, there are 9 centers, 9 energy centers. And the solar plexus center is said to be mutating. There are different gates that are connected to each center, and each gate has an energy, a frequency. So we're going to see the 55th gate that will be expressed in the beginning of this new age, starting in 2027. Line 6, 55th gate. You don't need to know necessarily what that means. You can dive into it. For those who are familiar with human design, you can kind of get a sense of what this is. But what this indicates is that there is a shift. As we enter the gate of abundance, we are also entering the line of selfishness. What's interesting about this is that the cross of planning was about the family, the tribe. It was about building for the collective as well. So there was a lot of communal types of infrastructure and structures that were put into place. Things like hospitals and surveillance and policing systems. You can call 911 if there is a problem, and an ambulance will come or a police officer will come, right? There are utilities, so electricity for the collective. You pay your electricity bill in a municipality and boom, you get energy and electricity. This was all created and cultivated for communities, the collective, and family was such a huge piece of this cross of planning and our orientation. So a lot was oriented to the family and the community. With 2027 and moving into the cross of the sleeping phoenix, it's moving into an age that is much more individualistic. So as the cross of planning starts to crumble, you know, of course, it's not like an overnight thing. There's a bridge and the building. And I thought it was also interesting that the Akashic Soul Records reading came through and really calling us into our roles as bridgers. So we are bridges between these two ages, according to human design. So as the cross of planning starts to crumble in this past 400 years, this like background music that's been playing is starting to shut off. The volume is going down and the new music is starting to play as we move into 2027. The frequency shifting into the cross of the sleeping phoenix, we will see the continued crumbling of governmental structures, of collective laws, of tribal connections, and the veils dropping. So this is what I'm talking about with the veils that continue to drop and that message that we received about that. The cross of sleeping phoenix is an individual frequency for Earth. So it's not only going to bring this massive mutation in the solar plexus, but it's a part of a larger evolutionary process. And in order for this sleeping phoenix to wake up and then fly, it must die and perish before it can do so. There's a revival of it. So we see this with the old systems, and it's something that I think like this breakdown we are already seeing, we are calling it in, but it's also really scary because we don't know what the fuck is going to take its place, right? And this is what the building is about. It's about building parallel and alternative systems. The cross of planning was tribal, so people coming together. The cross of sleeping phoenix is individual, so it's the exact opposite. What we see in the time of the sleeping phoenix, we see themes of cultivating your authority, your internal power first as a solid foundation, rather than relying on external forces and power. We see embracing the feminine and masculine and the darkness and the shadows. We see individuality. We see authenticity. We see sovereignty. So these are all themes that we're already seeing come into place, right? We're also seeing the solar plexus as one of the primary brains or forms of intelligence. So this is emotional intelligence and emotional sensitivity, intuition. This is also about self-governance, like not just like in a metaphorical way, but probably in an actual real life way where governmental structures and systems that are in place currently are most likely not going to be in place in the future. So like we're thinking the next 400 years after 2027. So there's self-governance that is going to happen. And in that way, self-sufficiency and how incredibly important self-sufficiency is in all areas of your life. So not compromising or giving your power away or creating a sense of false security, right? It's like a security that's not actually real. The other thing that the founder and channeler of human design, he called himself Rauruhu, he insisted that this frequency of the cross of the sleeping phoenix is about connecting back in with the spirit. So there's this shift to connect to spirit, which I feel like so many of us are writing, as in particular those who are tuning into this podcast. You're here because you know that there's more than just the material plane, right? You know that we are more than just material beings and physical beings. But you can't get to the spirit until you look after the body, this temple of ours, that our body is part of our spirituality or spiritual being. And this is really critical right now as our body mutates and evolves to prepare for this frequency shift. Interestingly, we also hear about very similar themes. You know, sometimes some folks in the human design communities, when they're talking about the next 400 years after 2027, like this cross of sleeping phoenix, it sounds kind of like Mad Max-ness, right? Like shit's breaking down, everything's chaos, everyone's like only looking out for themselves, like that kind of thing. And I am a reluctant optimist, I guess you could say. I say reluctant because I'm also very much about looking at evidence, looking at reality, like not bypassing, looking at the shit. So I'm not about glossing over that, But I am a perennial optimist. Like, that's just how I'm designed. And I think because I'm also a third line in human design, like, I am designed to fuck up and trial and make mistakes through life. And I learn that way. And I share and I teach others based off of my learned experience. So I kind of have to have an element of built-in optimism in order to make it through. And I feel like so many third liners can probably attest to this. So I'm seeing it as like, we're moving into a different field of consciousness. There are ways of living and being in the future that maybe we ourselves in this current incarnation cannot comprehend. But being born into it, you're born literally into that frequency, that fabric, that music. You don't know anything else. And you're a different kind of being. And so I think there's a lot that we don't understand, we don't know. We can't just make a platitude that we're going to have this Mad Max type of experience, because it could look really different. It can look like something that we have no concept of, that we can't even imagine currently. But what's interesting is this, so much of what I hear in the themes brings me back to this episode where I interviewed Penny Kelly. I will put that episode, it's episode 169, Shocking Prophecies for Our World and How to Get into Alignment for Future's Sake with Penny Kelly. In that episode, we're speaking with Penny, who is a teacher, a naturopathic physician, a researcher of consciousness, and she's also the writer and author of a few books, one of which is called Robes, A Book of Coming Changes. And in that book, she essentially received information from a series of visitations that she had from these prophetic beings. And she calls them the robes because they would wear robes. In any case, she shares the visions that they gave her in this book. And so much of what she shares is almost like the script for what the cross of the Sleeping Phoenix looks like or sounds like based off of the themes. It's uncanny. And so I highly recommend you listen to that podcast episode and you read her book, Robes, A Book of Coming Changes. I have everything linked up in that podcast episode on my website. So episode 169, you can go check that out. You can also tune into videos about the 2027 global cycle and the Great Mutation. There's one by Ra Uruhu, the founder of human design. This was posted by the Jovian Archive. There is another guy, his name is Jonah Sage Dempsey, and I really like the way that he talks about the global cycles. He has a video series on this and a lecture. So I'll make sure to link those up below as well. Okay, so there is a lot to take in and digest with that. I think now let's ground it into the body. Let's come back to the body with some medical astrology and looking at more of like from a Western herbalism perspective and energetics perspective of how this scorpionic energy can influence the body and the connections there. So Scorpio, ruled by water, is a fixed sign. The traditional ruler of Scorpio is Mars, which is why I mentioned that Mars really likes being in Scorpio. The modern ruler of Scorpio is Pluto. We have the tissue state. So when we look at the body, we can assess the state of the tissues, and which can give us an indication of what are the imbalances, what might be going on. With Scorpio, especially with that wateriness, and the depths of that wateriness, we can see tissue states of damp stagnation. So dampness, it means like there isn't enough movement of the water or drainage that needs to happen. Stagnation is sort of like this stillness. So think about kind of like a bog or a swamp. That's what this damp stagnation can lead to. And what does that do? It proliferates disease and infection and a buildup of toxins and toxicity. So we want to bring movement. We want to bring some heat possibly to dry up that dampness. We want to bring ways of moving either energetically or physically, literally, that stagnation. And also finding the source of that stagnation, like what that's about. The body systems connected with Scorpio are the reproductive system. So the genitals, the groin area, the sex organs, we see the prostate gland, the uterus, the cervix, the clitoris. We also see the colon. So as part of the digestive system, the pelvis, the coccyx, the rectum. So the lower chakras, we see the excretory system, the things that are moving things out. When there's imbalance or dis-ease in these areas, we could see it this in manifested in the womb. We see sexually transmitted diseases and reproductive organ imbalances. We might see irregular menstrual cycles. We could see issues with the colon, IBD, so inflammatory bowel diseases, or inflammation, Crohn's disease, that kind of stuff. We can also see hemorrhoids, prostate inflammation and issues. We could see parasites or infertility, blockages, issues, stagnation in those areas, also with the bladder, so bladder infections. So inflammation, blockages, stagnation, and stings or poisoning as well. So what would be helpful for these? Well, foods and herbs that promote elimination, that promote movement and motility, that have a warming and uplifting quality, a quickening and movement quality to it, ones that are detoxifying as well. So building in and really supporting your body's innate process of detoxification. Maybe bringing a little extra scheduled detoxifying activities. So this could be physical detox, like going in a spa, doing sauna, that type of stuff. Or it could be emotional detoxification, which I would argue is probably even more important at this time, especially with everything that's been going on. And speaking of the solar plexus mutation, right, preparing for that, so holding so much of our emotions, we got to get that shit out. We have to alchemize it. We have to look at it. So, so much disease occurs because of psycho-emotional blockages, issues, stagnation. So moving through with journaling and therapy and somatic experiencing and body work. There's also the emotion code, which is an energy practice that you can do to help facilitate the movement of emotional blockages. It's really important to create spaces for healing, like in particular for catharsis, for purging these blockages. And with Scorpio energy and vibes, it can be really helpful to dive into intuitive development and the psychic arts and development, magical arts of all kinds, mystical practices, also erotic arts and healing, celebrations of rites of passage, especially with birth and labor. It's kind of like choose your medicine, right? Like, what are you called to? This is really the time to support yourself with that and not be afraid to go deep. There are a lot of different herbs and foods that could be supportive for that would fall under the umbrella of scorpionic remedies or guardian herbs. Many of them have to do with the digestive system. So just throwing a few out there, Oregon grape root, wormwood, which is really well known, has like an antiparasitic, aloe, rosemary, and those that are really supportive for reproductive organs and in particular womb-related issues like black cohosh. I always like to consult my little herbal oracle deck from Anima Mundi, the herbal astrology oracle deck. And I pulled two cards because we don't want to just look at the herbs that are strictly affiliated with Scorpio. We want to see what else would be supportive in this time, right? Two cards were pulled. And the first is actually connected in with Pluto. So remember Pluto being a ruling planet of Scorpio. And that was Skullcap. And what I love about this card through the interpretation and perspective of the Herbal Astrology Oracle deck, Skullcap is connected to stillness. So the stillness after the storm, letting go of control, trusting in life, surrendering to the divine plan, and breaking open. And my oh my, if those aren't really supportive remedies and recommendations for these times, I don't know what is. The astrological ruler of Skullcap is Pluto and Saturn. Skullcap is a part of a class of herbs called nervines that they support the nervous system. So it's a specific nervous system tonic. It's a mild sedative. It's cooling in its energy, but it's really wonderful for nervous irritability and neuralgia of all types. If there's any oversensitivity to pain, or if there's anger and irritability with a sense of overwhelm, hello, like this is the theme of October, November, Skullcap can be really helpful. This is also supportive for chronic pain, fibromyalgia type of pain. It also reduces nervous oversensitivity and overexcitability on both the emotional and physiological levels. It's really versatile. It combines really well in formula. For example, with violet leaf and skullcap, utilizing the aerial parts are both really valuable herbs to draw from if you're looking for nervines that are trophorestorative, so like building back up the nervous system, supporting in that way. They work directly on restoring and relaxing the nerves. So chronic stress we're talking about here, including both mental, emotional, but also digestive stress to GI imbalances. There's so much that can happen with the nervous system and the GI, right? They're inextricably linked. And so our parasympathetic nervous system becomes less stimulated and our sympathetic nervous system becomes less inhibited. This can lead to tension and a nervous state, even when there isn't a direct stressful situation. It's like this hold, this stagnation in the energy, the movement of that. So both violet leaf and skullcap can really help to relax overly tense and frayed nerves so that our body can repair nervous system tone and enter back into a normalized parasympathetic state again. Of course, I highly recommend practices to support your nervous system alongside herbal remedies. But skullcap has been used, man, for thousands of years in so many traditions. TCM, it's been used to treat a bunch of things like cancer, lung issues, colds, bacterial issues, liver imbalances, digestive imbalances, diarrhea. We see in the Americas, the indigenous folks, the Cherokee and other North American tribal peoples would use skullcap ceremonially to initiate girls into womanhood. And spiritually, skullcap is said to have been used to bind oaths and consecrate commitments. It's an ally in initiation rituals and with vows, when you're making vows. So here, deeply connected to Pluto, we are looking again at these themes of will and willpower and tying into our relationships to our inner authority and leadership. So I think skullcap is kind of like a poster child herb for these times. And I would love to hear, if you're working with skullcap already, how you like to work with skullcap, your relationship with skullcap has supported you. And I'd love to hear if you haven't before and you're willing to try communing with the spirit of a skullcap and taking it in a variety of ways. One more that I'm not going to go super into in terms of like the materia medica and description, but this card flew out alongside skullcap, so I just have to call it out. And that is Yarrow. Yarrow wanted to be seen and heard. Yarrow is ruled by Venus, the planet Venus. And in the Herbal Astrology Oracle deck, Yarrow is linked with harmony. So of course, we saw this theme very much so in Libra season and with the Libra eclipse. and Venus connected, ruling Libra and connected with that harmonizing energy, equilibrium, bringing balance. Yarrow is also about spiritual protection and discernment and nourishing your psychic shield and sensitivity. So I think there's a huge call for that as well. Yarrow is the master of blood, as Matthew Wood would say, and it could really help to relieve patterns of disharmony and help cleanse one of heavier emotions and melancholy and sorrow and depression. So there is this sort of uplifting quality and harmonizing quality that I think would be really beautiful with Skullcap and in this time too. So I just want to call out and make a special mention to Yarrow with their harmonizing and highly protective boundary medicine and wound healing medicine, the mastery of our blood, as well as, of course, psychic protection in these times. One of my favorite ways of working with yarrow is flower essences, all different colors of yarrow I got on my desk. And I used to commune with yarrow daily when I lived in Oregon. It's such an amazing plant to work with, like in spirit, in person, and communicating with yarrow. So you can work with yarrow in many different ways too. And again, I'd love to hear how you are working with these plant allies and share with me what is resonating, what is landing. I've brought up a lot to contemplate as part of our homework from our previous Akashic Soul record reading from our guides. Bringing this information into your contemplative practice and feeling into your role as a bridger and in building this new world, starting with yourself. If you like this podcast episode or any episode, I would be so grateful for your rating and review over on Apple Podcasts. It helps us so much, and I love reading and hearing from listeners directly. Next week, we have our second interview with Sarah Artemisia, and this time we're diving into money. So she's one of my favorite Scorpios, and we're talking about a very Scorpionic topic that is money and finances. And I love that it's coming from someone who is also an intuitive healing artist and plant witch and all the things. So stay tuned for that next week. And until then, have a beautiful new moon. And be well.